saying, Lord, you are the greatest honor here, and I'm going to bow at your feet. I am going to wash your feet. And she didn't go get a dirty rag. She washed them with her hair. Scripture says for a woman that her hair is her glory. She washed them with her hair. It's not my glory that shines, Lord. It is you that shines. Then she took the perfume and poured them on her feet, on his feet, to say that the sweet savor that God smells is the sweet savor of you, and that will become who I am, who I am represented by. So that when the room is filled with this perfume, and it was a beautiful scent, that they will know that it is Christ that is here and not me. If you seek Christ first in your life, make him the one that is seen, then as you enter into these places, there will be some that will not like you. Of course there will be. You may share in some of his suffering, and that's okay. Because as a result of that, there are blessings that do come. Remember the Bible study that we did on suffering. You know that at the end of that, that it brings character, it builds us up, it gives us perseverance. But it also gives us blessings. And there's a great reward that lies at the end. See, you seeking God is not a consolation prize. It's not something that is less than what the world is seeking. Because what they seek is temporary. You can't take it with you. Warren Buffett makes a lot of money. But when he dies, it's not his balance sheet that God's going to look at. Amen. Verse 39, it says, when the Pharisees, and we're still in Luke 7, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he says. Now, I'm pretty sure that came with a bit of sarcasm when he said it. One of those kind of tell me. Because I'm pretty sure I know better. Y'all know how it is. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Now, for those of you who know what a denarii is, that's about the equivalent of one day's wage. So 50 denarii, if we use a five-day work week, it's about 2 months. The other one is about 2 years. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debt of both. Now, which of them loved him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not get me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. Remember I said the honors? A kiss was, you know, kind of a friend, you know. A bow was a little bit more honor. If you're making it all the way to the ground to kiss this person's feet, that means this person's up here. So, he didn't even ask for much. Give me a kiss. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. See others like Christ sees you. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" You see, the Pharisees saw very little when the woman and even Jesus walked into that place. Jesus, when Simon saw Jesus walk in, I think maybe the first thing he saw was, this is an opportunity for comeuppance. If I can just show that I'm better than him, everybody will be with me. If I can just catch him in a lie, the Pharisees are going to lift me up. If I am the one to show that Jesus is nothing but a fraud, then ha, how great I am. And then when the sinful woman walked in, I'm pretty sure he probably didn't even notice. It wasn't until that she honored him that he saw her. And all he saw was a sinful woman. Young people, when you walk into your school, yeah, people are sizing you up. They're looking and they're just saying, you know, hey, yeah, he's a big dude. He's all right. Yeah, he's a short dude. Yeah, he's all right. She's an okay girl. Yeah, she's pretty kind of maybe not. You know, they're just sizing you up. They only see the outside. They only see so very little. They don't know you're like an iceberg. They only see the tip. They don't see the breadth of what's beneath the surface. So much, so often in our modern day are people like that. Because they don't see it, or they just see themselves, they don't see where the person is. How many of you have ever heard of a man called, let me get his name right because it's Indian, Ramanujan? Ever heard the name Ramanujan? Never heard of him? Shame. Y'all ain't mathematicians, are you? He is considered one of the greatest mathematicians ever. Not in the world, because he's dead now. He died at 32. Greatest mathematician ever. As a matter of fact, and I know I'm going to mess this up, he was an autodidact. You ever heard of that word? It's a fancy word for self-taught. SAT words, I'm trying to help y'all out. I'm doing what I can, you know. That's yours. AUTODIDACT. Okay? There you go. So if you see it, there it is, and that's what it means. Self-taught. Now, self-taught to what degree? Well, this is what I mean. Okay? From a young age, he was very much interested in mathematics. Matter of fact, you know, being that he was Indian and he was of the Brahmin culture, you know, they have many, many gods. He actually thought that, you know, for him, it's like his love of mathematics was inspired by God. That's what he thought. Okay? Through elementary school and high school, you know, he did well, but, you know, math was what he loved. Gets into college, really sees mathematics, but never really taught a lot of the formal things about it. Ends up failing out of college, never even finishes. So here he is around 19 years old, and he decides, actually he's a little bit early, about 16 years old, he starts writing in these notebooks. And he starts writing these different equations and theories about mathematics, things about infinity, things about series of numbers and integrals and all that other stuff that when I was looking at calculus, my eyes were crossing and I was going, I don't understand what you're talking about. Okay? And he wrote these three notebooks, and there's a rumor that this is a fourth. These three notebooks, and because paper was so precious, he really would just write out the problem and then write the answer and had used slate to figure it out. So these notebooks, he took some of the problems and submitted them in the journals of mathematics back in the day. Okay, we're talking the 1800s. And the people that were learned in mathematics saw them and said, this is wrong. That's just a guess. That's Polish. That's somebody else's. We know that's not it. This man had never seen any of this. And they had rejected it. And they pretty much just said, it's no good. But very few people that really knew what they were looking at saw the complexities behind it and was like, this isn't by chance. There are things here that I don't see how he did it. It's right, but I don't see how he did it. And these problems and journals made its way all the way up to Cambridge, where a man by the name of G.H. Hardy, who was a very learned mathematician, one who looked at mathematicians and sit there and put them on a scale from 1 to 10, saying 1, you know, like he was somewhere, well, 1 to 100, but he was somewhere around 25, you know, and that, you know, people like Einstein and folks like that, you know, would be, you know, way up, you know. But he had, you know, Newton would be, you know, 50 for him. You know, he was still trying to figure out, you know, where these people lay. He saw this and went, how is he doing this? Brings him up to England just to understand what this man was doing. These problems were so complex that it wasn't until 1976 that some of these problems were actually answered, that they were able to prove what it is that he had already said. 76. He was born in 1889, somewhere around there. 1887. Thank you. Okay. That. His stuff was so deep that when they looked at it, they were just amazed. It took somebody really knowing what they saw in order to understand how great he was. Like I said, he died at 32. And he died, according to Hardy's measurement, as mathematician number 100. He said he hadn't seen anything as great as that. What am I trying to say with all of that? What I'm trying to say is not everybody is going to see what it is that you are. Some people are only going to see as far as they can see themselves. But that very few are going to see who you are. And you know what? Only one person really matters. And that's God, because he sees you fully for who you are. You see in the scripture that he talks about, we all have sinned. We all have come short. And he has forgiven us all. And if you're able to take that, you're able to really see people for who they are. You might see some guy that is acting all kind of crazy in your class. But if you actually just take the time to take that step back and notice that, you know, hey, I've fallen short, so maybe he has too. You might see that maybe some of those outbursts that he has more to do with something going on in his life versus something that he's just trying to be seen about. One of the things that we've instituted here as the youth are these prayer cards. Okay? And very briefly in the VIP room, I talked to you about this, but let me give you the real purpose. See, these prayer cards are to help you see. First off, it's to help you see beyond yourself, because there is a world much bigger out there than just you. And if you're able to look past yourself, you're able to look past a lot of things. You're able to look past what you think are things that are not good enough to be presented to the rest of the world. If you're able to look past yourself, you're able to look at the talents that you have as a blessing to bless someone else, to give to someone else, to help someone else, and not something that's not quite ready for a presentation. If you're able to look past yourself, you're able to see past even some of your own pains and some of your own failings, and able to see how others are hurting too. And you're able to take some of that and how you felt about that and be able to comfort those that are there. See, these prayer cards are to help you see, to help you see past what might be in front of you, and to just say, hey, give me an opportunity to pray for you. Give me an opportunity to see you for who you really are. Because underneath all of that vibrato, underneath all of that muscle, underneath that great basketball talent or great singing ability is a lot of times a hurting person that's just waiting for somebody to say, do you see me? If you can seek to love, see, love is an action. Love must be sincere. Romans 12:9. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. See, if those are your marching orders, if you can keep that as your marching orders, then it just keeps you on a straight path. It allows for you to kind of bring people into your fold and follow behind you, as opposed to pushing them away. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. We'll get to why for that in a second. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Why? Because we all go through it. So we all want to share in those things, both the good and the bad. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Because, you know, we all know that we all ain't that high. I'll just leave it there. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now, that piece right there, you know, I had to sit with that for instance. Not the do not repay, well, okay. Let's be real. Yeah, the do not repay evil for evil, yeah, I had an issue with that because you hurt me, I want to kick you too. But it was the next part. It's like, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Is it possible for you to please everyone? No. Will you drive yourself crazy trying to please everyone? Yes. So be careful to do that. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That doesn't mean doing everything that they want you to do that. It says, as it depends on you. Do not get into any relationship with anyone that the only way that you can survive is by doing everything that they tell you to do. Do not get into any relationship, friendship, boyfriend, girlfriend, I don't care. Teacher, work, boss, worker relationship. It's not just do whatever I tell you to do. And your feelings do not matter. No. Let me go back and read it again. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It's okay to dissent. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say, this hurts me. I prefer not to be a part of it. That's all right. That's okay. Feel free to say that. Okay? God has given you that right. Take that right. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will reap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's not about, brothers, you disrespect me, I'm going to disrespect you. How much more could you turn them around to even being a friend or an ally? By saying, all right, I got you, but I can still love you. You hurt me this time, I got you. I know to be careful about where I trod, but at the same time, I can still see you have a need. How can I help you? How can I pray for you? Because see, what that does is it confuses them. That spirit that's in them that's trying to say, just fight against it. They're against you. They're trying to harm you. It confuses that spirit because it doesn't know what to do. It only knows to fight. But when you throw love at it, it just douses its flame. As a matter of fact, it kind of backs up. It's kind of staggering. It's just punched right in the face saying, what did I do next? It's defeated before it has a chance to even fight. And I know that's hard because whenever someone hurts you, it's personal. Yet and still, when they hurt you most, the ones that hurt you most are the ones you should pray for most. Because that hurt might not be about you. It might be about what's missing in their lives. That hurt, it might be directed at you, but it's directed at you because they're noticing how it is that you just take it in. And how sometimes you deal it back out, but you deal it back out in such love and in such compassion that they're like, I need that in my life. So maybe if I engage you a little bit, just get a little bit under your skin, then maybe you'll give me back what it is that I really need. I need your prayers. I need your comfort. I need what makes you great. Those encouragers that are in here, y'all keep encouraging. Your strength so much strengthens others out there. It gives them something that they do not have, that they're too weak to build on their own. You comforters, you continue to comfort. So many have missed that loving hug in their lives that when you embrace them, it gives them something where they're deficient. You teachers continue to teach because those lessons that you teach expand who they are. I'm not talking just to the adults here because each one of you have those gifts within you. You all do. Even though you're still trying to figure out this Jesus thing, they're still there. You see, the other reason why I love this scripture is because God saw her for where she was. He's not waiting for you to begin to be 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Oops, I didn't know what that was. You know, he's not waiting for you to get there to find him. He's like, I'm here right now. And I see you right now. I don't care if you still have questions, ask me. Because what it is that I have to tell you is for you right now. It's to get you moving forward on your road right now, not then. Only I can see then. I haven't promised you when it is. Yesterday I had the opportunity to go to a funeral. And the funeral was for a good friend. I've known him for longer than my son has been alive. He was a month younger than me. Good man. Generous man. Loving man. Good to his family. Good to people in the community. The place was packed. with people there just to give him honor for the life that he led. About a month and a half ago, he and I had sat down to lunch, sitting across from each other, kind of catching up on time passed. We just hadn't seen each other in a while. And we just kind of talked about our kids and talked about, you know, and made plans for what we were going to do next, you know, how we're going to get the boys together and we're going to do some stuff. And, you know, I thought it'd be cool. It's like, we will do it. I think I was at the mall the Saturday before he passed. And he worked at the mall. And the thought came to mind, you know, I should just go by and go see Hanif, see if he's in there. And I'm thinking, nah, I'll just catch him next time. That was Saturday. He passed on Monday. It's about right now. It's about right now. Your life is important to God right now. Your mission is important to God right now. Who it is that you're going to touch is important to God right now. Don't wait until then. Don't wait until something changes. Give him what you got. Just go ahead and he doesn't care what form it's in. He is the potter. Give him raw clay. He will turn it into something fabulous. You think a mink vase is valuable, priceless. I don't care from what dynasty it comes from. It's still not more valuable than you. Last point, I'm going to get out of here. I know I've been talking too long. Point four is prepare to get blessed. Remember how I said that the host had something that the guest had something to do at the end? The guest was supposed to bless the host. Typical blessings back then sounded something like this. May it be the will of God that the master of this house shall not be ashamed in this world, nor abashed in the world to come, that he shall be successful in all his undertakings, and that his property shall prosper and be near the city, and that Satan shall have no dominion over his handiwork, and that no sinful act or iniquitous thought shall occur to him from now even to all in eternity. How powerful is that to have that prayed over your life? See, this is what Simon was seeking when he initially brought Jesus in. He wanted this blessing. He wanted this prosperity. He wanted to be able to be presented to the rest of the city as this man that should be honored and glorified. Yet he didn't even want to even honor the one that was there. And because he forgot to honor him, the lowest of the low in that place was honored. As a matter of fact, her sins were forgiven. The honor, my dear friends, is not ours. It's to God's. And if you can give him what it is that you have, you will be blessed. Matthew 25:34-40, as I leave, it says, then the king shall say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." If you go into your life feeding those who need, clothing those who are naked, visiting those who are in prison, and prison can be more than just what's down in Jessup. Prison can be drugs. Prison can be just feeling proud of oneself. Prison can be a lot of things. But if you can just visit them, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. Love is the greatest way to present Christ. Fulfill your duty to love. Amen. Oh gosh, I forgot to do that for y'all. Come on, tell us, familiar.
Melodies from heaven rain down on me, rain down on me.
Say it.
Melodies from heaven rain down on me, rain down on me.
Take
me in your arms and hold me close.
Yeah.
Rain down on me, rain down on me.
Fill
me with your precious Holy Ghost. Rain down on me, rain down on me.
Come on now, melody.
Melodies from heaven, rain down on me. From heaven.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Oh yeah.
Stay. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings, Lord. We pray that as we leave out of here, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for seeing us. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us our marching orders, which are to love everyone that comes in our path. Lord God, thank you for allowing us to be the mirror that shows who you are to other people. Lord God, we praise you. Go with us in peace, love, and mercy and grace. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.